Some of the most popular apps on your phone are under fire as President Trump issues orders targeting TikTok and WeChat.
The orders that the president signed on Thursday are likely to be met with rancor in China.
Plus, the global pain of the pandemic isn't going away. As U.S. infections climb, India's caseload passes a grim milestone. This as Latin America faces a major economic crisis on all levels.
We're talking everything from mom and pop shops to restaurants to small hotels, all kinds of different businesses that you find in all these countries.
We'll hear from our reporters on the ground. It's Friday, August 7th. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. Downloading TikTok and WeChat in America could be blocked if new Trump administration executive orders take effect. The moves from President Trump would bar transactions with the Chinese companies that own the apps in 45 days. That effectively sets a deadline for an American company to buy TikTok's U.S. business. As we've discussed, Microsoft has been in the hunt. Shares of WeChat owner Tencent closed down 5%. David Hadari has more on the market impact.
So shares of Tencent Holdings have taken something of a beating today, and that can be in no small part to President Trump's signing of an executive order that would bar US individuals and companies from dealing both with the Chinese tech giant and with WeChat, which is Tencent's social media app. Stocks in Asia are down over broader fears about deteriorating relations between the US and China. And the orders that the president signed on Thursday are likely to be met with rancor in China. Talk of a TikTok sale has been poorly received and is only serving to confirm long-held suspicions in Beijing that the US is trying to sabotage China's efforts to grow its technology. This also comes in the wake of the long-running trade war between the two countries and is only going to escalate those tensions.
TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, says it might take legal action if it doesn't get fair treatment by the American government. Tencent declined to comment on the executive orders. Also, Chinese companies which trade on U.S. stock exchanges could be forced to give up their listings under a new Trump administration proposal. Chinese firms that don't comply with U.S. audit requirements would be delisted in the U.S. A spokesperson for the Chinese embassy in Washington didn't respond to a request for comment. And President Trump has set a 10% tariff on some aluminum from Canada. The administration argues a surge in exports is hurting U.S. industry. Canada's deputy prime minister calls the tariffs unwarranted and unacceptable. Looking ahead, we'll get a better picture of the economy when the July jobs report comes out this morning. More on that in this afternoon's episode. As we talked about yesterday on the show, weekly jobless numbers edged lower but are still at historically high levels. U.S. stocks rose after yesterday's numbers, helping push the Nasdaq to a record close. Let's turn now to a global look at the impact of COVID-19 today. As the number of Americans killed climbs past 160,000, India is now reporting more than 2 million people have been infected. It's the third country to pass that mark, just behind the U.S. and Brazil. India has had one of the largest and most extensive shutdowns in the world. Eric Bellman, our Deputy South Asia Bureau Chief, explains the unique challenge there.
India, across the country, is very densely populated. This is very true in the megacities, whether it's Delhi or Mumbai or Chennai, where the biggest outbreaks have happened, particularly in the slums, where you'll have 10 people to a room that's 10 feet by 10 feet. And so if one of them gets it, everybody's going to get it. Even the rural areas are quite heavily populated. And so when the virus gets into the villages, it spreads just as quickly. Well, maybe not as quickly, but it spreads quickly as well.
Brazil is now reporting around 100,000 deaths. Coming up, we'll talk to our South America Bureau Chief about the economic strife facing the region during the pandemic. In the U.S., we're seeing several states implement new restrictions on travelers from states with high infection rates. The Wall Street Journal's Allison Prang is on that story.
I think the big issue that states are facing right now is, do we reclose anything at all if we're seeing an uptick in cases? And we've seen some states place further restrictions on, say, social gatherings or people trying to come in from other states. So exactly, it's kind of this ever going on at this point pandemic, and it's evolving in places where maybe we saw the virus abate and then it sort of got worse again. So states have to grapple with this idea. Do we re-shut things down? Do we implement some kind of new restrictions? And at what point do we do that? They're in really tough spots for sure.
Talks to come up with another coronavirus relief package ended late last night with no deal among congressional Democrats, Republicans, and the White House. Both parties traded blame. A deal could still happen, and President Trump said he's considering executive orders. And a quick update to a story we brought you last night. New testing says Ohio Governor Mike DeWine does not have COVID-19. An earlier test had come back positive. Just ahead, hardship across Latin America as the pandemic destroys lives and the economy. The economic impact of the pandemic is hitting nearly every corner of the globe. Latin America is feeling the strain in ways other regions aren't. Joining us from Bogota, Colombia, is our South America Bureau Chief, Juan Ferrero. Juan, good to see you again.
Good to see you.
So Juan, just how bad is this? Who will be hurt the hardest?
Oh, the setback is just tremendous, Mark. I mean, from across the region, we're expecting the economies to contract 9.4% on average. But in some of these countries, it's going to be higher than that. The other thing that I would add that's really important here is that Latin America from 2003 until recent years really saw a lot of growth, and that impacted poverty. Poverty fell from about 45% in 2003 to about 30%. And now we're going the other way.
Juan, how does this look day to day from a business standpoint?
The hardest hit are really going to be sort of the base, the bedrock of the economies in Latin America, which are really small businesses. I mean, we're talking everything from mom and pop shops to restaurants, to small hotels, all kinds of different businesses that you find in all these countries, and also a lot of informal businesses that are also being hit. Of course, a lot of people in Latin America, about 50% of the population on average, works in the informal economy. Those people and those businesses that they work in are the ones that are going to be hardest hit. Of course, large companies are also being hard hit, like airlines, for instance, but a lot of bigger companies are trying to ride this out. And of course, they have the capital to try to do so.
Juan, we've seen government aid packages in the U.S. and the EU. Does the structure even allow for something like this in Latin America?
Well, of course, I mean, we're talking about a region of 650 million people, but there's no sort of European-style unity, of course. I mean, we're talking about just independent states. Some have more capital to put forward toward relief packages. We've seen some really interesting and generous packages in countries like Peru and Chile, which have they really have sort of the muscle to seek and tap loans at low cost. Brazil, of course, has also put forward a very large stimulus packages, but other countries don't have really the wherewithal for that kind of a rescue package for companies and for average citizens. I think countries are trying to do what they can. You know, there's a lot of countries down here that are providing aid to people in the lower strata of society, the working class, who need food and so forth because they work day to day. I mean, a lot of people in Latin America are highly dependent on the daily wages that they earn, and so those folks really can't ride out lockdowns for very long, not even for days, let alone months.
And Juan, how will the hardships in Latin America perhaps impact the rest of the global economy?
Mark, there's no doubt that what's happening around the world is going to affect Latin America. We've had a situation where the United States is very hard hit. The U.S. Is a major trading partner for several Latin American countries, particularly like Mexico, for instance. And in South America, many of these countries trade quite a bit with Asia, particularly China. So China is a major buyer of Latin American resources and commodities. I mean, we're talking about everything from copper to soybeans to meat. I realize that China is making a comeback and China is growing, but it's nowhere where it used to be in the past. And so, you know, there's going to be less of a demand for Latin American products. So yeah, I mean, without a doubt, this is a global problem. And all these countries are interconnected and they're all going to be affected.
Juan Ferrero joining us from Bogota. Juan, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Mark.
And that's what's news for Friday. We're back with an updated episode tonight. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.